Welcome back to One Visit Away with your host, Kevin Fitzpatrick. This show focuses on true stories of philanthropy in order to understand what it takes to succeed in major gift fundraising. Listen to these stories, and you'll realize you're just one visit away from a transformational experience for your benefactors and your organization. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the One Visit Away podcast. I hear a lot of people talking about sales versus major gifts. And, you know, I've had a couple podcasts on this topic and written a few things about it on LinkedIn. But one of the things that I think is important to recognize is why many times salespeople are hired for fundraising positions and then they don't do well in major gifts. I think one of the biggest reasons for this is that salespeople who think that they were really good at sales were actually just average or maybe slightly above average. Because I see this happen all the time where someone will say like, man, Bob's, you know, he's so great at sales. He's been in sales for 10 years and he's going to do so well in major gifts. Turns out Bob makes like $85,000 a year in some sales job and is just average or maybe slightly above average. And I think what people don't realize sometimes is that people who are great at sales are making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like someone who's great at sales, especially depending upon where they are in their career, is like at a minimum making hundreds of thousands of dollars and at a maximum making millions of dollars. Those are what great salespeople, that's like the type of numbers great salespeople make. If you're making like $150,000 a year in sales, you're not like some superstar. Wow, like this person is unbelievably accomplished. There's thousands of people who make that kind of money selling cars, for example. They're all over the place. And that's not a knock at all on people that make that kind of money. That's awesome. But it doesn't mean that they're like the world's greatest salesperson. And the reason I say this is because people will take someone who they think was great at sales and was just average or slightly above average, throw them into a major gift role and they're not performing. And they're like, well, you see, like they're just sales and major gifts. There's just not a lot of overlap. I guess it was the wrong thinking on our end. I don't think so. I think major gifts is just way harder than most sales jobs. And so if you get someone who's average at sales and you put them in a major gift role, especially at a smaller organization that has so many complex issues, they're not going to be knocking it out of the park most of the time. And so I think that's one thing to recognize. You know, I think there's also some other things in here. Like someone could actually be great at sales, but they're in the wrong vehicle. So what I mean is like you could be absolutely perfect at a particular type of sales, but the most money you could possibly make in that vehicle is $100,000. And so someone might have like all of the skill and the discipline in the world, but for whatever reason, they're just in a job that has a limit on income. And so it's possible that person could go into a fundraising role and do really well. But that brings me to my second point, why salespeople don't succeed in fundraising roles a lot of times is because I would argue sales is a particular skill set. It's getting to know customers and prospective customers, understanding what their problem is, seeing if your solution solves that problem, and if so, asking for their business. But that's only one side of the equation when it comes to how much money can you make. Like, you can have all those technical skills and the discipline and be really great at the sales thing, but if you don't have the ability to understand other things going on, like, am I in the right vehicle? Okay, I've mastered all these techniques, but I've maxed out at $100,000 a year. Like, is there some other thing that I'm missing? Do I need to hire a team? Is this just the maximum that can be achieved here? Could I hire people to work for me? Could I get better leads? Could I increase the price of the product? Could I provide more value so that I can charge more? Could I do something differently? Like, what can we do with the product that could make this more profitable? Or maybe I just need to go work and sell a completely different thing. Those are the types of questions that are much more important if someone wants to figure out how they can maximize their income. And a lot of times people don't have that judgment or that acumen to be able to understand those things. And so you could have someone who's technically skilled at sales, but they don't really have a lot of great business acumen. And so if you take that person and you put them in a fundraising role, and it's just like, hey, there is 800 different ways you could raise money. Well, if that person is only good at a technical skill and they're not good at looking at things like, well, what is our most profitable way of raising money currently? Is that the one we should stick with moving forward? Are there bigger opportunities than that? Figuring out questions like, are our current donors the best people to talk to? When do we introduce new donors into the mix? Are we serving our current donors well? Because if we're not doing that, we probably don't need to worry about new donors. Is there some other source of funding that makes more sense? I work with a lot of organizations. Some of them just do really well with grants. Other organizations are, for whatever reason, not suited to raising a lot of money through grants. And so there's different things. What's the age group of our donors? Are our donors, is the average age 78 years old? If that's the case, maybe we need to focus more on planned giving. If our average age is 35, we probably need to focus more on just meeting with people and asking for gifts today. There's so many things that lead into this that simply having the ability to connect with people, ask good questions, listen, find out what people's problems are, and ask for their business if it's appropriate. That has nothing to do with all these other things. So I think a lot of times going into a nonprofit and working in major gifts or just being assigned to fundraising gives the fundraiser a lot more, it's much more like they are now the owner of a business and they need to figure out what is the best way to increase revenue here than a lot of sales jobs. A lot of sales jobs, it's just sit down, this is how you get leads, this is what you do, this is the process, go make it happen. And so I think those are the two main reasons in my mind. I know there are salespeople who can succeed in major gifts. I've seen it happen plenty of times. I've also seen it happen plenty of times where supposedly great salespeople were actually just kind of average or slightly above average. And when they got into major gifts, it was a lot more challenging and it didn't work out. And so I don't think the problem is, I think when people say like, this is why, salespeople just don't raise money at major gifts. They're just not good at it. It's a totally different thing. I don't think that's entirely true. I think there's a lot of similarity, but I do think if you are, you've just got to know what you're getting into. If someone is average or slightly above average, I would not consider that person to be your golden ticket to having a winning major gifts program. So just consider that the next time you're in the hiring process. I believe major gifts is much more difficult than most sales roles. And so take that into account. And if someone is well into their career, and I know there's a lot of different factors that go into this. There's, what's going on in their personal life. There's family responsibilities, all those types of things that go into how much time someone can devote to their career. But generally speaking, I mean, if someone's like well into their career and they're telling you they're amazing at sales, if they're not making hundreds of thousands of dollars, they're probably not as good as they say that they are. And I would just be cautious of hiring the supposed incredible salesperson to come work in Major Gifts, especially like if someone's making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year and they're going to go take your job at 80,000, the only way they're going to do that is if there is some really big story there. And there could be. They could have some, you know, big conversion experience. They want to do something really noble. But if the jump down to 80,000 isn't like a massive altering of their income, there's something that they're missing in either the skills department of sales or in the, you know, good business judgment that's probably not going to work out for them when it comes to Major Gifts. So I hope this is helpful. I have a lot of conversations with clients who are thinking of, you know, who they're going to hire for their next Major Gift role or maybe their first Major Gift role. And I do think people who are in sales can be great at Major Gifts and vice versa. I've done both. I think there's a lot of overlap. But again, if someone's just average or slightly above average, don't take their word for it that they're some like sales superstar. If they're just kind of doing average, they're really going to struggle in most Major Gift situations, because I believe Major Gifts is just a lot more challenging. So hope that's helpful. As always, I hope this has inspired you to go schedule more visits. After all, you're just one visit away from growing your mission and your impact.